I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Betchy Brothers.
And this is Storytap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of a story by taking it all the way from concept to fully fledged pitch. This episode,
The Guardians of Time, : Chapter VIII, : Origins, : Obito. I honestly can't tell you what this one's about. We just felt like making something melodramatic to the point of outrageousness.
It gets weird. Buckle up.
Are you feeling sneaky? Because that's the only idea I really have.
Oh. All right. I'm feeling pretty sneaky. I thought we were going spooky today, but we did spooky before.
Right. So, we're feeling kind of sneaky. The reason I bring up sneaky, I forgot. We kind of moved away from what this podcast is really about 2 episodes ago.
This about something?
With the horror movie, because I was trying too hard. I turned it into a job, and that episode wasn't too entertaining. Episode 4.
Soft disagree, but okay. Moving on.
I just mean it could have been a lot better.
All right.
Because I was focused too hard on the wrong things. I was thinking too hard about, like, make this pitchable instead of just having fun, and then it turning pitchable out of us just having fun with it. Mm. So,
well, it's going to take some time, but I think I'll forgive you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I want to make a movie about a ninja.
Ooh, I love ninjas.
That's all I've got.
That's it?
That's literally it.
Okay. The obvious setting is Japan, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was going to be my first question. Is it a movie in ninja times or not? Yes or no?
No. It's not in ninja times.
Is it in modern times?
You know what? No. We're going to put it in some other time. We're going to make it a period piece. Ooh. In another part of the world.
Okay. I'm already getting an idea brewing. You didn't play For Honor, but do you know... What do you know about For Honor?
It was the dude with the mask and the dude with the reputation, but he still never talks. You know, he's a silent protagonist, but he's got a backstory and everything.
That's Dishonor.
Oh.
Dishonored?
No.
Dishonored.
Then
Dishonored
no.
1 and 2. Yeah, For Honor was the fighting game. You could play as one of 3 factions. There was, like, the samurai.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept now.
Yeah, the samurai, the Vikings, and the knights.
Did 5 Honor ever come out?
Oh my gosh. I'd smack you if I could reach you.
Also, 5 Honor, great name for a porno. I'm done. I know I'm no longer welcome.
He's not done with the podcast. He's done for. He's done. He'll never work again.
No, yeah.
I'm done. We could basically make For Honor the movie. But the protagonist would be a ninja. Because I'm pretty sure the protagonist in the campaign mode of For Honor the game, I think you played as multiple people, but, like, the heaviest focus was on the knights. I didn't get very far in it. It wasn't much fun compared to the multiplayer. That could be fun. I don't want to just make For Honor the movie, because then we would have to... I think what would be most fun is another original idea, because I'm super scared of lawyers coming after Storytap.
Damn lawyers. They're ruining America and anywhere else that people are listening to this.
So,
evidently Germany.
So, what we can't do, which I think would be objectively best, is For Honor setting. Samurai versus knights and Vikings are there too. And the way they meet each other is not explained in any sort of scientific way. It's like there's a big ass storm, like a giant, like, cataclysmic sized storm, and then all of them are just like, and then suddenly there were land where there used to be sea, and, like, basically landscapes collided with each other, and it was like they were thrown into, like, a time vortex or something. But, like, they just say, like, knights, Vikings, and samurai are here in the same place. Deal with it.
Honestly, I like that. It's not stuck up its own ass thinking too hard. It's like, here we are. There we go. This is what happens.
We can't do it.
Okay,
because that would be way too similar. That would be indistinguishable. So lawyers, Ubisoft would be like, that's our thing.
Well, then we'll do like Ninja-like Society and something else like Society.
Yeah, I think we should keep it to two, because then, because I think to try and do that for a movie, you know, the two things colliding, that would be great for like an anthology type thing. Like that's the setting. And then you explore the stories that come with that.
Right, yeah.
But you've got
this merchant and that guy.
But for a one-off movie, I think the colliding of the worlds would have to be explained a little bit, you know?
Yes.
So, I guess we'll stick with Samurai and Ninja. I don't know if they were a thing at the same time. Ninjas are Japanese, yes?
Yeah, ninjas and samurai are both Japanese.
Right. So should we go with... I think we should go with maybe knights? Or should we go with Vikings? Or should we go with something entirely different?
I think we should go with something entirely different.
Okay. What's...
I just feel like knights and Vikings... Knights and Vikings are two things that do kind of happen at the same time.
Mm.
And ninjas... I'm not up enough on my history. I know that there was a time period where there were ninja and samurai at the same time.
Okay.
Doing stuff. But, you know what? I don't know when, like, the golden age of the ninja was or whatever.
Okay, so... I mean, this is going to be a fantasy. Not worrying too much about history is what I'm getting at. Like, no major historical events. We're just saying... It's, you know, quote-unquote...
old times.
It's samurai times. It's ninja times.
It's ninja time. We got the title already.
It's ninja time. This is going to be a 10-minute episode. It's ninja time. Oh, no.
It's just, okay, I've got this. But our hero, the ninja, kicks down the door, and he yells, "It's ninja time!" And then he does a backflip, and then he cuts someone's head off. And that's the end.
So we're making Black Dynamite. So, before we get into anything, there has to be some sort of draw with ninjas / samurai, you know, samurai times, culture, colliding with something else. And I don't want to do, you know, the end of... Was that Edo era? Where
Edo.
The end of the period of isolation? I don't want to do that, because that really happened. What I'm digging now is a ninja type, just going all in on the fantasy magicness of it, time traveling ninja. I'm digging.
I like it.
I dig it too.
Is that like his thing? Is that his gimmick, or does he wind up somewhere?
I think making it his deal would be a lot better, because I just really hate the idea of being thrown out of time and being a fish out of water. Like, what's this, a TV? Like, I hate that stuff.
Okay, from Ninja Time to the Time Ninja.
Time Ninja.
Time Ninja.
So, I really like the approaching something that's traditionally sci-fi, like a time travel, with like a magic fantasy mysticism.
I do approach. Like that.
You know, a scroll that lets you... travel through time would be so much more entertaining than, you know, quote-unquote samurai times, stepping into some sort of machine.
Okay, I feel like we have two options here. We can go for the serious tone. Eric looks sad, but I think he's actually you're rolling your neck to feel more comfortable. Honestly, I'm going to pretend that you're sad.
Ugh.
Because I want you to know what I'm about to suggest. The two routes I'm about to propose. We can go serious. We can go like for some sort of action scenario. Or we can have the time ninja trying to kill baby Hitler.
it's definitely unique. And
okay.
Well, okay. Before you say anything, what we always do on the show is go for like the mainstream blockbuster, unobtrusive, yet somehow also kind of novel movie that would make a lot of money and would not be critically condemned. Not critically acclaimed, but not condemned either.
Yeah. I feel like we've got a couple of things that critics could like.
What if we just go weird with one?
Okay, cool. Because the next thing I was going to suggest after you started chiming in was that I was like, oh my gosh, but who does he find there to stop him? But the time Nazis!
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Is that because you couldn't make a whole movie about him sneaking in to just try and kill baby Hitler unless it was some really weird comedy. But if it's like a whole thing where he's chasing Hitler across time, this is in terrible taste. What the fuck are we thinking? No! There's no way! What the hell? No! I'm not doing that!
Oh, come on. Like, you
no,
don't
no, no,
want
no,
to
no,
make...
no, 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 no,
I'm
no, no, no.
I'm sorry. I really no, want to no, make no, no. Time Ninja versus Hitler.
That's terrible.
All right,
putting
fine.
Hitler in anything and, like, making him... If you make Hitler...
Jojo Rabbit.
If you make Hitler a character in anything...
I'm not saying we're Taika Waititi.
No, exactly. He nailed it because he never gave Hitler any sort of leeway. You never actually had Hitler on screen. In Jojo Rabbit, he plays, quote-unquote, Hitler, but it's what this kid, you know, brainwashed by propaganda, thinks Hitler would be. And so when Hitler kills himself, you know, quote-unquote, IRL, in real life, which he did in history, that's like the kid... like, kind of being disillusioned. Because if Hitler showed up on screen, you either establish him as a serious threat, and then you have to, like, you know, that's kind of the realistic approach, or you could establish him on screen as, you know, what he was, a human, which no one wants to do because they hate to think about, you know, what the depths of villainy that people are really capable of, you know? So let's keep Hitler out of Time Ninja, please.
Okay, then what is Time Ninja's goal? Why has Time Ninja traveled through time? I'm sorry, I'm coming down from the sheer campiness of that idea and also you yelling.
I mean, I realized what sort of pariah I would be in the film world if I not only made Time Ninja versus Hitler, but gave it credence on a podcast, you know? Because, no, let's just avoid Nazis entirely. Because...
I don't know, I feel like Nazis are a very easy, good, bad guy.
Well, you sure, in a World War II movie...
I don't know. It's
okay.
Like, I mean, they're around
okay.
again.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'm down again. I'm down for Time Ninja versus Hitler. If we frame it like a World War... If we frame it a little more like a war movie, you know? It's not, you know, Hitler and Time Ninja squaring up against each other.
Okay.
It's not like he's... It's like he's the untouchable. But the actual obstacle is not him, but Nazis, you know, in general. Because, you know, in a war movie, it's not like I cross swords with Hitler himself. It's that there are, it's, I don't want to say a little more realistic, but that's kind of what they're pretending it is. A bunch of, it's the war, the battles are chaos. It's not the one-on-one, clean, choreographed fight scenes. It's like, holy shit, I almost died and I just lived by luck and, like, once you manage to get the upper hand, it's very satisfying. And it's not like you win the battle. It's like you make a difference.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I think if we're taking that angle, then it's more appropriate for Time Ninja to fight time fascists.
Okay.
He fights time fascism. You know, like, you know, Loki is on right now, and just light spoilers for Loki... The TVM in Loki regulates the flow of time, and they decide everything. So I feel like that having this scrappy, rebellious figure fighting an organization that controls time is sort of... One, has the potential to be more fun, because Well, you know.
Yeah.
For all of the reasons, very good reasons that you just gave. And two gives us a little more opportunity to make something up and flex some muscles.
Right.
Because I think, honestly, I think we, at least me personally, it, even if it's the dumbest thing possible, it kind of bothers me when movies have historical inaccuracies.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Like, if it's like, you know what, it's not like, hey, Hitler was never killed by a time ninja. That's dumb. It's like, this isn't the year that that would have happened. If it would have happened anywhere, it would have happened the next year when Hitler was in that country. Okay?
Mm. Yeah.
So I vote we make up, like, people have, okay, you know what? People have traveled from the future. I'm doing materialism versus mysticism again. Time fascists have traveled from the future and conquered the most resource-rich time period on Earth.
Which is?
I don't know.
Oh, no. You're the history buff.
I don't know when that... Like, it's the Earth. It's always been the Earth. The Earth has always had this stuff until we started using it.
That's true.
So it was like, let's say...
Yeah. I'm digging it. You go first.
I was going to say it's like way before the Industrial Revolution. It's a post-apocalyptic future world, and they're like, bump this, we're gonna go back in time and take over all this shit before we took all the shit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm vibing. So, okay, it's gonna be a little convoluted.
To wear all red and black, because that's what...
That's the bad guy colors.
That's, yeah.
So, okay, it's gonna be a little convoluted, so bear with me while I try and get the whole thought process out.
That's my thing.
It's future... there is some sort of organization that is in charge of keeping order throughout time, and they, you know, have existed, they will exist well into the future. They lose in the future. They fascists go back in time to but this way we get to pick and choose where our protagonist comes from, but also where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sort of Terminator style, we have lost in the future because they're sending someone somewhere else in time.
Okay. You
know? So then we're like, wait, we gotta let someone else in the organization know in the past. And then they send him into the past, but where else? But samurai times. And then they're like, we gotta send our agent to where the future guys sent their agent. And where would that be? I'm kind of digging World War One. Time ninja in World War One.
Actually, okay. I like that. World War One is always interesting to me. I feel like there are theaters of World War One that we don't usually get into. Like, a lot of World War One was fought in Turkey, I think. It's what led to the fall of the Ottoman Empire.
Right, and because...
The rise of modern Turkey.
That way you get wild anachronisms. I'm imagining, you know, one of those old Japanese kung fu movies where they're on wires and they're like, you know... everything feels really floaty, stepping on like a tree branch and going 10 feet in the air, but you don't really care because it's awesome. I'm imagining that, those kinds of vibes. That's like the vibe that that Time Ninja has, and he's running along and people are shooting, like, you know, old school weapons at him, and he's like throwing kunais and ninja stars and stuff. But you also get futuristic laser guns, you know, and those are reserved. It's kind of like we made Captain America the First Avenger vibes.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, like, totally anachronistic everything. Like, this guy just has a shield and, on occasion, a handgun. But, like, he is the main character, so he has to have some sort of gimmick that allows a lot of room of expression in his action. And the setting is old-timey, sort of vintage-feeling weaponry and technology. But then you also get the futuristic laser stuff. Damn. This movie's crazy. Okay, we got the opening scene. I like having a teaser for this kind of thing that doesn't just straight up start in the middle, but like, it takes something that happens later in the movie. You know? And It's called In Medias Res, but it's actually supposed to be pronounced like In Medias Res or something like that. So, the difference between what I'm getting at, a teaser that happens later, and then In Medias Res, is what is basically once you reach the point where that teaser teased something in the movie, the scene that you were seeing happen actually just happens. Versus, what I'm getting at, a teaser that happens later in the movie but is not in Medias Res, is you don't see that thing happen. You know?
Okay, yeah.
Like it's a line of dialogue. Like, what just happened? I should have thought of an example before I started that sentence.
Time ninja happened.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like... oh, no. Yeah, okay, so teaser scene. Two guys, World War One times. You, and like, with promotional material, you know what you're getting into. But if you don't know what you're getting into, World War One guys in a trench, something going on. And then you're like, okay, so this is a World War One movie. It's like a
Battle of the Somme. They're in France. I've definitely said that wrong. I don't have time to Google French words about World War One.
And I have no idea what that meant.
Machine gunning stuff.
Yeah.
There's some people yelling German stuff over there.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you're just watching. You're like, okay, this is a World War One movie. Got it. And then a fucking robot turns the corner and is like, and you're like, okay, this is kind of a... alternate history movie, I guess. And then, you know, whoever we're watching, who comes in to save them but a ninja? And then you're like, I have no idea what I'm watching. And it's like, boom, boom, boom.
It feels
boom.
Like a 14-year-old wrote it.
Yeah, pretty much. And the title, Time Ninja, or whatever. We'll decide the title in, like, 10 minutes. Okay, so that's, like, our teaser. And then it's like, what was that? Boom, cut to... you know, Time Ninja Guardian, whatever the title, the title of the movie, also our protagonist's title.
Someone would fund this.
Ah, God, I hope so. This is the coolest thing I've ever had an idea for. So, what we should begin with is establishing the rules of, you know, the organization and of time travel. And this would be a very preachy, very exposition heavy dialogue at the beginning, where we have our protagonist, and maybe he's being taught or trained by some sort of mentor figure. And they explain, and then intercut with that, we have, okay, I've got an idea here, some shadowy figure finagling in the future where we've lost. And he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like, it's just a quick little subtitle at the bottom that lets you know, like, what you were just watching was... in, I don't know what year Samurai Ninjas happened. And then cut to...
We'll say 1473.
Okay.
I don't know why I picked that year. It could be entirely the wrong year.
Yeah.
We would probably Google this before we wrote a screenplay.
Yeah, true. So we have Samurai Times, and he's explaining, like, yes, here's one of the only two time-traveling cool devices. Maybe it's a scroll, maybe it's a relic, maybe it's a rock. And he's like, ah, yes, there's only two. That's cool. And then cut to way in the future, the year 3506 or something like that. And then it's just like a barren wasteland. And it's like, oh no, the totally arbitrary robot AI thing has won. And here's our, you know, hooded in shadow figure in the future, and he's like, no, they've won it, but it's okay because the time is kept intact. And then the robot's like, that's what you think, bitch. And then he goes back in time and he's like, oh no, he's going back, who knows when, I have to warn someone. And then he sends a warning to Samurai Times, and he's like, here's like the coordinates they went to, quick, you have to and then he dies as soon as he gets back the message there, and he's like, you have to go. And then maybe there's a reason that our protagonist is underqualified and is the one that has to go. We have our work cut out for us. We're almost halfway through and we've thought of like a scene. But I'm really digging Time Ninja.
Time Ninja!
So, okay. Now we have where he's going. Should he have some sort of unfinished business? Our Time Ninja. And should he have... Should anyone go with him? Because I think a deuteragonist That's the word of the day, deuteragonist. It means basically like the supporting, the second protagonist, pretty much is what that means.
A Virgil, if you will.
Indeed.
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 We're literature. So smart.
Oh boy. A deuteragonist would do a lot of good.
Have you ever read the Divine
Dante's?
Comedy?
Yeah. No.
Me neither.
Oh, wait. Well, I read the Divine Comedy, the Divine Trilogy, whatever it's called.
The Divine Comedies, all three of them.
Yeah. I read them, went totally over my head. I had to read like three summaries and listen to like an audiobook. Anyway. All right. So, I think Time Ninja, should he be able to, I think the time travel-y things should be a one-way ticket, so we don't have to explain jumping back and forth in time and why he can't just do that and do-overs and stuff, you know?
Alright, yeah. That they they appear and you can use them once.
Right. And when I mentioned that hooded figure who comes back from 3605 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that was Time Ninja after he had gone forward into the future to send himself back, you know?
I gotcha.
Okay, cool. You,
nice.
You vibed.
Yeah.
We vibed. Like,
well, it's him or his mentor.
Right.
Or somebody else that we meet later.
Right.
I guess it can still be somebody else that we meet later, if that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, time robot raids. Okay, this, I'm sorry. I just love this. Time robot raids. Orphan Time Ninja.
This is so dope.
They orphan Time Ninja. Time Ninja doesn't find this out until later, but he is raised by his by himself from the future to become the Time Ninja.
Well, I just sort of figured I didn't really enjoy him being trapped anywhere else in time, because it's such a bummer when someone is like, oh, well, I have to say goodbye to the life I knew, but there is peace. Like, that really just is depressing for me. So I thought it would be fun that, like, literally, he comes back so that he just picks up immediately where he left off, you know? He's like, I was literally never gone, technically, kind of thing.
Nice.
So, deuteragonist, deuteragonist or no?
I feel like our deuteragonist has to be somebody from that time.
You're right.
Somebody, it's a World War One soldier or something.
How about a World War One soldier, like, obsessed with Japanese culture?
All right.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Not like a weeb. Like, some, but it's like the times before the internet, so he's like, wait, you, like, know samurai and stuff? And he's like, yeah. And then he, like, has, like, a little notebook, and he's like, is it true that this and that? Okay, and, you know? And then he can, like, clear things up. And then he can be, like, his ninja buddy in training, who's, oh, now that I think about it, most definitely going to die.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Who will take care of his figurine collection?
No.
Yes. He has almost all of the Love Live idols.
Even Lucky Star.
Even the Sunshine ones.
I don't know.
I'm sad
stuff.
That I knew that.
Fine.
Let's move on.
Anyway.
I'm disappointed in myself.
Okay, so we've got we're going a little
no,
over
I'm not.
Time. Yeah, we're already 32 minutes in. We got a speed run up to the midpoint. So we've got Time Ninja inciting incident. The teaser is already taken care of. He shows up in World War One times, and he is a little bit of a fish out of water. But it's not going to be that campy crap with looking at something that we think is so commonplace and being fascinated by it.
Oh.
It's like,
he's like, the future.
He's like, the future. Wow, you've really mastered the art of death, haven't you? And then he's like, I think there's a little more room to improve. And it's going to be kind of depressing. But up to the midpoint, and here we go again. What should the midpoint, not twist, be, but like, the midpoint should be when he comes face to face with the big bad, because, you know, our villain should have a face. It should be someone or something from 3605. You dig? I was sort of just figuring Grey Goo, or, well, Grey Goo would be a little too hard to explain a balance of power.
I don't know. Grey Goo is already, like, a little too Terminator.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say AI, but that kind of feels a little too Terminator.
I know, yeah.
As well.
I feel like, yeah, I think, okay, that was a lot of dead air. breathing.
This
good. Okay, so we should have. I keep bumping. I bump the microphone. It's fine because this is all going anyway. I don't know. See, I'm having trouble thinking of something good, like a face to give it, because all I'm thinking about is, you know, like all the political theory stuff, and it's like, what is happening? They're coming to get us.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can hear the sirens.
There's some loud-ass sirens outside.
Yeah. So we have like 2.5-3 unusable minutes
right here. I don't edit.
You don't?
No, keep going.
Okay. You should take out a couple of minutes here.
Sure, but...
Okay. Here's the problem that I'm having here. I'm having trouble thinking of, like, a depressing version of the future, or like a dark version of the future. Maybe it's this idea that people, I mean, like, we've already got robots. Would it be like there's almost no people left? They control, a small number of people control all of these robots.
I'm thinking what could, it's a little risky to do away with robots entirely.
Mm-hmm.
If we just make it someone from the Timekeeper Association who, like, decides to get selfish, you know?
Mm.
And betrays the organization. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay, you know what? I kind of like this, is that...
I say it's risky because it's a lot less obtrusive if it's just some, you know, foreign outside enemy. You know, artificial intelligence gone bad is so unproblematic. If we make it someone from this society that turns bad, we would have to, like, give them at least one scene of them turning bad instead of the throwaway line of, no, it's him and he's back. He's bad now, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm kind of feeling. That.
Oh,
yo, you know what?
What?
That could be, like, the midpoint twist reveal of coming face to face with the villain. He's expecting a robot. He's expecting an AI. He's expecting an alien thing. And it's just a person.
Just a person.
That would be tight. You know, he's like, what? This is outrageous. My whole life I've been raised in this association. We need a name for that. We'll come up with a name after it. That might be the name of the movie. He's like, this whole time I've been part of this organization, I've been learning that we protect humanity. How could a human do this? And he's like, you know nothing. And then he uses a big power energy wave to knock him aside. And then he's like, and then that's, like, you know, where he's really bummed out. And then Mr. Deuteragonist pulls him out of the water. Okay. We're already over time by, like, a good 5-10 minutes. Yeah, by, like, 7 minutes. 7.5 minutes. That was right in between 5 and 10. That was outrageous.
Nice.
37:30. So we will come back.
Real 5 of those minutes are unusable.
That's pretty true. We'll come back. We'll come up with a title. We'll come up with names for organizations and characters and everything.
We're not going to be Time Ninja.
Yeah, we're not. Enjoy this commercial break, though, I suppose. We'll be right back.
You do that.
And we're back. We have decided to name the protagonist Obito, because I'm pretty sure Obito in Japanese translates to just, like, good person or upstanding person. We googled Traveler in Japanese, and, you know, it's part of his character. He's a time traveler, and he's from Japan. And it kind of sounded like Obito, I think. It was like Otibito or something like that. You know, that works. And we've named the bad guy Kronos, because it's a very bad guy-sounding name. Kronos was the titan of time in Greek mythology.
Yes.
And, you know, that's just entirely appropriate. And we've decided to name the organization the Guardians of Time. It's appropriately a pretty timeless kind of title.
And we've entitled this film The Guardians of Time, : Chapter 8, : Origins, : Obito.
Yum. Okay. Now that we have all that, before the midpoint where they cross paths is...
With Kronos?
Yeah, with Kronos. Before Obito and Kronos cross paths and see each other for the first time, and he's like, oh my gosh, it's a human who's trying to destroy humanity or whatever. That's pretty easy. Just like a generic, maybe a training montage if we're patched for time. Maybe a montage of him, like, getting used to, you know, adapting to World War One times and technology.
Yes.
That could be a montage. And then he's like, he sees some sort of place where he's like, that's where the battle will culminate. That's definitely where Kronos will be. And then he gets there, he comes face to face, and he's like, freeze, alien scum. And then a human turns around. He's like, what? And you even have the tattoo or the birthmark or whatever of the Guardians of Time? How could you? And he's like, Obito, you fool. You know nothing. And then, like, he goes away, keeping everything super vague, like a douchebag. And, second half of the movie is, Obito, like, we can make him, I think a good place to come from is he's not like a starry-eyed kid, but he is a little too much of an optimist, you know? Only sees the good in people, which is reasonable. But beyond that, he thinks just because he's trying his best to protect people and to be a good person, then, like, all of humanity is going to fall in line, you know? And then he sees the technology, World War One. He's like, what have you done for medicine since, you know, these times? He's like, I'm not sure. He's like, but check out this gun. Check out this tank, you know? And Obito is not, like, depressed. Well, yes, he is. He's depressed. It's not that, you know, medicine has stagnated. It's just that, like, why do we keep designing new killing machines? It really bums him out.
Yeah, and I feel like I kind of like that from this depressed perspective, this cynical, depressed perspective, Kronos is the logical conclusion of human history. A person seeking to dominate all of time. Just, like, make it into the little bow that ties itself off.
Word. So, second half, all that really needs to happen is... I keep on coming back to Captain America, the first Avenger, for, like, the blueprint. I suppose he should, like, meet up with a team of people who can help him, you know?
Like, other Guardians? Guardians in that time period? Because, you know.
I didn't even think of that. I just thought of, like, other World War One soldiers. Much like Captain America.
Yes.
In World War II. I'm really digging, like... we didn't come up with a name for the World War One soldier. And I was just sort of picturing an American. John Smith. So, Smith is like, all right, Obito, now that we know the enemy and we know kind of where he's headed, we can finagle that plot point later. Now that we know the enemy and where he's headed, we should get our allies. And then, of course, we have the very weirdly diverse team. Think Wonder Woman 1. We got, like, a French guy. We've got, like, a Spaniard. We've got, you know, one person from like, each nation involved in World War One that are somehow working together. Whatever. And then maybe they go on some sort of mission. Or maybe he rounds them up to take them to... Yo, yeah. He's like, okay, we're rounding up so we can get even more reinforcements. We're going to the nearest Guardians of Time temple or whatever. And then when they get there, it's, like, trashed. Like how Malak did Taris. Or how Malak did Dantooine?
Dantooine.
Like, he's like, oh no, this is terrible. Like, the one... Like, our biggest and best shot, that could be the setup for the finale. Is we have, like, a, not a montage, but, you know, fun and games of Obito being a ninja, you know, being, like, so athletic and disciplined and good at his whole ninja thing that it's, like, to the point of, like, super unrealistic, but you don't care because it's awesome. We have fun and games of him kicking it with the World War I soldiers. And then he's like, I know where we need to go. And it's taken us a good 5 or 6 scenes to get there because it's so far away and we're drawn on a map because it's cool. We're going to the Guardians of the Time Temple. And then we get there, it's trashed. And then he's like, no, this was our last... Like, now that he's gone, he must have the time crystals. And now that he has, you know, if he has both, then he can go, he can just keep on going to new temples in time and keep on taking new ones. He'll be unstoppable, you know? And then, you know, the last survivor in the time temple who's like, you know, on his last legs, he's bleeding out. He's like, no, we sent the crystals somewhere else, somewhere dramatic for a final showdown. And he's like, we have to go there. And he's like, we could never get all the nations of the world to unite against a common enemy. And he's like, we'll have to try. And then maybe that's like the message we go for. This is such a campy movie. Why are we trying to make a message with it?
I don't know if I'd say campy. It's melodramatic.
That's the word, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be campy too. That'd be fun.
That would be pretty fun. I mean, it was campy when we were talking about it in the first half.
Yeah, true. Oh my gosh.
Fighting time Nazis. We've come a long way from fighting time Nazis.
We've come a long way. Okay, so... Man, I just got a notification on my phone that I was not selected for something I auditioned for.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. I didn't expect to be. So, I mean, we've kind of got everything already done now. Should have saved more for the second half of the episode.
I mean, what concludes? How do we conclude?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, how do we end the movie? Does Obito defeat Kronos with the help of a ragtag group of misfits from across the world?
I think, but for it to have, you know, that generic melodramatic vibe to it, he should, you know, sacrifice himself to do it, but he doesn't actually die. He is thrown into the future where he is able to travel back to the past to send himself to World War I times. So, we would have to do a little bit of research to find out where, like, one of the bigger battles of World War I happened. But wherever it is, it doesn't really matter.
France is where the shit hit the fan.
I mean, we can just have it happen on, like, the top of the Eiffel Tower. That'd be pretty sick. And it would play out a little like the climax of Rush Hour 3, I think that was. Where, like, the two of them get way too personal, and then the deuteragonist, Chris Tucker, the deuteragonist Smith, is like, no, I'm an impartial third party, and you definitely need to die, you know? That would be pretty tight.
It is pretty tight.
And then it would, oh my gosh, the fight choreography potential is actually off the charts for that. Fucking...
What, cartoonish ninja fighting time god?
Yeah, exactly. That would be sick. And, ooh, how about, okay, just thought of a big plot development, or not, plot device potential. How, he's got the two new crystals, or time-travel-y things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can either, and he's like, I could send myself somewhere in time with one, but since I only need one, and then he, like, breaks the other one into little tiny pieces, and then that way he can bring individual things from other times to him.
Ooh.
And he's like, you know, I spend one more of my little crystals to get, like, a flaming sword. He just reaches in. He's just like, tiny time portal opens up. He reaches in. He pulls out just something outrageous. He pulls out, like, a keyblade, a lightsaber. He's like, ah!
Nice.
The sword from Halo. Suck it. He's like, holy shit, that's awesome. I'm digging it. I'm really digging it.
I love it. I mean, that just makes it extra fun.
Yeah.
That's some over-the-top nonsense.
Exactly. More stuff like that is what we need.
That's in our training montage. It's like, I trained in all of the time weapons.
So that final showdown should be set up so that, you know, the boys that we've gotten together to help Obito, the World War One guys, need to... It's not that they're... Some of them are sacrificing themselves, but some of them are like, I'll stay here while you take him out, you know? And then the final showdown is just Obito, Smith, and Kronos, and then Smith is, like, you know, incapacitated, so it's just Obito and Kronos. They fight for a while, at the top of the Eiffel Tower, of course, and then, you know, Kronos is like, I will win, because people are inherently bad. Oh, and Obito's like, no, I know people are good. I know people like Smith would shoot you in the back at a time like this. Suck it! Ah! And then, you know, he's like, thanks for buying me that time, Smith. And then he, you know, grabs him, and then they both fall off the Eiffel Tower. And Smith is like, no, my bud! And then he thinks maybe they died, maybe... He's like, and the narrative stays with Smith for a little bit, you know, like at the end of Captain America, again,
yeah.
he's, you know, everyone involved is like, well, Obito most definitely died right there, but at least he brought Kronos with him. And then Smith is like, no, you know, I like to believe he made it out. And then he's like, here's to you, Obito. And then they all, like, raise a glass and then they down it and they're all sad.
Again, but just like Captain America.
Exactly. Exactly like Captain America, beat for beat, several times.
Yeah.
And
I really love that part of that movie.
That was a good part.
That was a good part.
Those poor guys. Do you think he got back in touch with them after Endgame?
Gotta. Yeah, definitely.
That's so good. Oh, that makes me happy.
He called him on their magical, on the telephone.
Yeah. You know what?
So just, yeah.
Do you think he hit a Bucky? And maybe that's how we can get him back. Not multiverse, whatever. Just, you know, headcanons and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. But Obito... And then... for the sake of pacing... Kronos did not survive the time travel fall. Obito did. But he sent them... Kronos sent himself and Obito back to 3605. Where... there are now two time crystals again, and he meets slightly younger Kronos, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm going back in time to fuck shit up, and there's nothing you can do about it. He leaves, and then Obito goes back to samurai times, and he's like, you have to send this boy. And he's like, why? You just have to. And maybe he passes out, maybe he pretends to die, and then once Obito of the past leaves, he's like, phew, okay, I'm good. See what I did there? And he winks at the camera. Oh, man, this movie is weird.
It is so weird.
All right.
I love it, honestly. I know, like, if... This is fun. This is fun to me. If you made me sit down and I hadn't just helped make it up and made me watch it, I'd hate it. but I did, so I love it. It'll be a fun time.
Hell yeah.
All right, so as you may have noticed... This was chapter 8, which means we've got at least 7 more in us. I'm not going to say definitively that 8 is the highest number.
We'll come back to the Guardians of Time.
I'd be surprised if there was never another Guardians of Time episode.
Time and again.
I like that.
All right. For the sake of not front-loading the episode, is there anything you want to talk about?
Well, Eric, I'm very passionate about what's going on in Hungary and the rise of hardline nationalism. No? Okay, we're not going to talk about that.
Let's talk about something I know anything about.
I've pretty much told you everything I know about it.
Oh, okay.
It's bad. Oh, that's right. They shouldn't have that.
That's right. I remember.
I mean, I could just say the same thing word for word, but Poland.
Really? No, I'm kind of tapped. What about okay. You? Much like this story idea, I am tapped.
Truly, this was story tap. The end?
The end.
The end.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, let us know by leaving a review on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's a lot like what we do, just more professional. Thanks again.